Hi, everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez. I've been doing news now for 30 years, two languages, all over the world, here in the U.S. Interviewed four presidents, founded a billion-dollar business. I believe news should be honest, direct, and impactful. This is Direct Impact. Who is and who isn't profiting from the war in Ukraine? Well, as we've pointed out before, and frankly, as we could possibly have pointed out in just about every single war in the past, that our government and its allies in the media have pushed on us, we are not profiting. And by we, I mean you and me and the American people. We are not profiting. As I've reported before, the tens of billions of dollars being spent on a country that most of us could barely find on a map a year ago could have been used to build thousands of schools here in America, or bridges, new roads, right here. It could have provided needed health care for millions and millions of Americans, especially the elderly. It could have done a lot of things, but it hasn't. In fact, even though it is our money, yes, money taken out of your paycheck, my paycheck, we're not getting it. It's not going to us. So then who is really benefiting from all of that money, those billions and billions of dollars that are going to Ukraine? That's an important question, right? The answer, again, as we've pointed out, is pretty clear.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
That is President Dwight D. Eisenhower, a World War II general, no less, warning Congress not to let the companies that make bombs and bullets and more bombs become too powerful, or it will destroy our democracy. That's what he said. I mean, listen to his words on that January 17th, 1961 speech. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. And what is the military-industrial complex? It's a formidable union of defense contractors and the armed forces. They should and need to be kept apart. They need to be separated. And who should do that? Eisenhower said, never let them come together. Who was Eisenhower speaking to when he said that, though? When he delivered that amazingly stern and surprising speech, really, nobody expected that from this guy. It was a general on the way out, and that's what he said. Be careful. This crap is going to ruin our government if we let it happen. He said that before he left office. And who was he talking to? He was talking to Congress. He was talking to Congress. He wanted to make sure that our lawmakers didn't allow the money and the greed that always seems to come along with war to get out of control. So here's the question. Did Congress listen? Did they listen? Well, what we're finding out now, when we look even now at this situation that's going on in Ukraine, is that not only did they not listen to General Eisenhower, President Eisenhower's plea, they actually seem to be doing just the opposite of what he recommended. Just the opposite. In fact, we're finding out that many members of Congress are personally profiting from the war in Ukraine by buying stocks in defense companies. And they're doing so with what looks like, well, what the hell else am I going to call it? Inside information. See, after voting to send more weapons to Ukraine, or knowing that they're about to vote to send more weapons to Ukraine, they buy stocks in the companies that will make profits off the weapons that are being sent to Ukraine, because they're the companies that make the weapons. They know those defense companies are going to be profitable, and that's exactly what happens. A number of members of Congress have actively traded defense stocks amidst the Russia-Ukraine war. One such offender, Representative John Rutherford. This dude's from Florida. According to Business Insider, he purchased thousands of dollars worth of Raytheon stock the day Russia went into Ukraine. In a tweet that same day, Rutherford contended that the United States should leave nothing off the table in regard to Russia. Rutherford's tweet indicates he would vote for more arms to Ukraine while he was also buying stock in the companies that make the arms. And here's what he tweeted. He said the U.S. and our allies must impose the maximum possible sanctions and leave nothing off the table. Then there's Congressman Kurt Schrader. According to congresstrading.com, Schrader purchased stock in General Dynamics and waited almost a month before he even disclosed it. You're supposed to tell people when you buy stock, any stock. He didn't even tell anybody. Marjorie Taylor Greene, she bought stock in Lockheed Martin, February 27. Now, here's what's interesting about this, though, with Green. Green, we should note, has been very critical of wars in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. So why would she say one thing, but then cash in or do another with this situation in Ukraine? Look, you think maybe they just can't help themselves? Is it possible that members of Congress simply can't help themselves? After all, I mean, they get what amounts to inside information about foreign policy news and decisions before the rest of us have any idea what the hell's going to happen. The question is, should they be allowed to trade and profit from that? And especially from wars. Wars. The answer apparently is, why not? Nobody seems to care. Because there's at present no actual law, at least not without teeth. Yeah, there's the stock law or act. But with teeth? No. Stopping them from buying stocks, not even in companies that they know are going to increase revenues because of their vote, and not even in companies that'll make money from wars. Wow, joining us now to talk about this a little bit more is the host of the Critical Hour on Radio Sputnik, Garland Nixon. What a great opportunity this is for you and I to have a conversation.
Hey, thanks for inviting me, Rick. Great to talk to you again.
This is important stuff. What do you make of these guys? I think, according to the last count that I have received, looking at my notes, and this could change, 18 members of Congress presently are buying defense stocks in companies that are arming Ukraine while voting to arm Ukraine.
You know, unfortunately, it makes sense to me. If you recall, shortly after the lockdown started with the pandemic, it was soon found out that a number of members of Congress, when they found out that coronavirus was here, before they did anything else, they immediately sold their stocks and called their rich friends and told them to get rid of their stocks. There were investigations, and no one was held to account. Mm-hmm. No one was charged with any crime. So what we have is a complete, it's the wild, wild west in Congress. There's no accountability whatsoever.
Well, I mentioned the Stock Act. So there is a law that they passed that says if ever you or your family or your kids or wife or certain people buy a stock, you have to report it, especially if it's something that you've been investigating, for example. But here's the thing. Nobody does anything about it. We find out all the time that they're doing this, and there's no penalty. There's no castigation. And here's what's worse that I found out. You ready for this? You know what the penalty is if they catch you? $200.
Right.
So you make $100,000, you make $100,000 on a trade, and you have to pay a penalty of $200. Really?
Exactly. And see, here's the thing. It kind of reminds me, do you remember, again, I have to go backwards, do you remember the GameStop controversy?
Yes.
Where they found out that the stock market illegally stopped trading. It was illegal, but no one was held accountable. So what we have when it comes to the ruling elite, particularly Congress, which is an obvious manifestation of the ruling elite, is that the laws are only there to give the appearance of propriety, to give the appearance that they're trying to hold each other to accountable. But if they're not, no one's going to act. And even if you get caught, $200, you just made $200,000.
Exactly.
I'll take that deal all day.
But here's the thing. I happen to be an officer, or have been, in a publicly traded company. If I did that, if I bought stock with material non-public information, that's what it's called, if I was to act on material non-public information, my butt goes to jail right away, by the way, as a regular guy. Now, maybe if I was some big wig at Citi or some of those other institutions, I could probably get away with it. But the fact that I would go to jail, and you would go to jail too, but yet these guys don't, just seems horribly wrong.
Again, because nobody is there to hold them account. Who's going to police the policemen? So you have Congress there. They're all making a fortune. It's easy money. How easy is that for you to know what, you know how you're going to vote? They know, keep in mind, if you've ever been around Capitol Hill, which I have, the discussions that are going on for the next action that they're going to take. It's going on for maybe weeks, maybe even months ahead of time. So long before they make a decision on the next purchase or whatever is going to happen, they kind of can see the direction that it's going. So it's just such easy money for them. They're all doing it. They're sitting around. That's why people come in Congress. They make $170,000 to $190,000 a year, and then 10 years later, they're worth $20 million. How do you do that?
Well, I told you there are 18 right now who apparently are doing this in when it comes to the Ukraine war. As bad as this is, I think it's worse with the war situation.
Yes.
I mean, you're literally you're having an action which you may be profiting off, which could end up sending my son or my daughter to lose their life in some country that maybe I didn't want them to go to. The other thing is, we're toying with a country, Russia in this case, that has more nuclear warheads than we do. We're playing with fire. This is potentially, and I say this to all my friends, and I don't think enough of us in this country understand this, we're pushing the envelope on what could turn into something bigger, like maybe even a World War III situation. I mean, I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say that. I mean, if it's true that we have, and NATO has, boots on the ground inside Ukraine, are we fighting Russian soldiers? And is this what these guys are making money off of? I don't want that, right?
Exactly. I mean, to put it frankly, this is an extinction-level event. The actual outcome that the neocons in Washington, D.C. say, the outcome they're looking for is regime change in Russia, tear Russia apart, total defeat of Russia. As we know, Russia, as would be the United States or any other nuclear power, if Russia is facing destruction, you know what they're going to do? They're going to push the button, as we would or anyone else. So the actual outcome that they are seeking would be the destruction of all humankind, and they're getting paid off of it.
Corruption of this, though, is what makes me angry more than anything else. Are we more corrupt now than we've ever been, you think?
I think so. I think so. Part of it is that if you look at the neoliberal system, the financialization of the Western system has created a dynamic where people are making money on things other than industry.
You're talking about like crony capitalism.
Right. And that's the nature of what they do. In fact, before this conflict started, it was constantly reported on that Ukraine was the most corrupt country in the world. I would argue that's one of the reasons they selected it. They go in there, they get this corrupt country, it's perfect. They can go in there, former CIA chiefs, Hunter Biden, they went in there and they made a fortune. And so, now they're still getting paid.
So you're saying the reason we protect Ukraine is because what? They remind us of ourselves?
Well, there's something more insidious.
Because I'm talking about corruption in this country, yeah. Right? I'm seeing politicians, the media, everybody seems to have sold out. And, where's honor?
But I think these things are inextricably linked. In that one of the things that's going on with Ukraine is this: there are two things. Yeah, they're making money now, but I believe there are a lot of politicians who have real dirty hands. Mm-hmm. And there were people over there that could say, well, you know, when Hunter Biden or whoever was over here, they did this and that. So to some extent, they control Ukraine. But I will guarantee you, there's people in Ukraine that have enough corruption and dirt that they could take some of the people down here. Let's not forget. They're telling us we've got to give money to Ukraine so they can buy tanks and things like that. And they're investing in a crooked crypto scam.
Yeah.
And
right.
Then the money's coming right back into the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
So I
would
imagine there are people over there that can finger some of the crooks right here that are making money off of that.
And
conflict.
By the way, I mean, and we can argue about this, I would venture to argue that it's not just the Democratic Party.
Oh, no.
That it's across the board. If you're a politician in America, if you own a media company in America, even I dare say if you are supposedly a journalist in America, you're probably corrupted right now. And it bothers me to say that because, you know, we're supposed to set the example. Let's take a break. I don't want you to stop. I want to get back in your head on a couple of other things.
Sure.
Including something you mentioned earlier about how politicians start with a certain amount of money and end up with a heck of a lot more. By the way, I have a podcast where, as a journalist, as a Latino, as an entrepreneur, I share my stories, what I've learned, what I've not learned. Usually I've learned a heck of a lot more from my mistakes than I have from anything else. It's called the Rick Sanchez Podcast. We talk about a lot of stuff, including what Garland and I are talking about right here, right now. Look for it wherever you get your podcast when we come back. So how's a guy, and Garland just mentioned this a little while ago, or a gal, Pelosi, McConnell, start in Congress or in the Senate making maybe $100,000 a year, and then suddenly 10, 20 years later, they got $35 million, $85 million. How's that happen? We're gonna tell you. Don't go away.
Forward to talking to you all.
That technology should work for people.
A robot must obey the orders given it by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with the first law.
Show your identification.
We should be very careful about artificial intelligence.
The point, obviously, is to create trust rather than fear.
I would like to take on various jobs.
I mean, with artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon.
A robot must protect its own existence as own existence.
In Hinduism, we always believe that life is a full circle. There are always ups and downs.
India, before the British, was the richest nation with the highest GDP in the world. And why did the 100 years of British rule bring it to a dismal low of some 50th ranking or late 30th ranking?
India was not their property. They had no right to take my property, my idols, my gods.
They went to our public spaces, our sacred spaces of temples, and really violently pulled out these pieces.
In fact, the word loot also is a Hindi word, which has now got into the English dictionary. So quite tellingly, even the Hindi word loot has been looted into the English lexicon.
China's way is, you have your own interest, national interest. We have also our national interest, but we can find some common space, common interests. And based on this common interest, we can develop a roadmap for cooperation, very practical cooperation, so that to lead to a win-win.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Rick Sanchez. Let me give you some examples of what we were talking about a little while ago. What happens when somebody becomes a lawmaker in the United States? Our first example is Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. He represents Kentucky, as you know, in the United States, has done so since 1984. And when he came into office, he made only, roughly $70,000 a year. That was his salary, right? $70,000 a year. Good salary, especially back then, right? For a young guy like he was. Today, somehow, only serving in that same job for 20 years, making roughly a salary. Today, obviously, he makes more than that because it's gone up. But still, he's worth $35 million. If you had a job making $75,000, let's say even $150,000, $200,000 a year, you think you'd be worth $35 million after 20 years? Let's go to Nancy Pelosi, Democrat, right? She started her career as a U.S. lawmaker in 87. Today, she's said to be worth $114 million. Where does that come from? What does that say about them? And maybe more to the point, what does it say about our ability to get either house of Congress to be less excited about funding wars they seem to be profiting from, for example, Ukraine. Let's continue our conversation now with Garland Nixon. I mention this in particular because it seems to me that our number one export right now in this country, the number one thing that we export is defense. It's military, it's guns, right? We don't do butter, we do guns. And if I were a lawmaker and I wanted to clean up, so to speak, I would probably look in that direction to create alliances. And my fear is that's exactly what they're doing. That's exactly how they're getting rich. That's exactly why we're ending up in endless wars.
Well, absolutely. And that direction would look right back at you because that's what they do. They know that they need to get these politicians on their side. And what a lot of people don't know is—
You mean the defense guys.
The defense contractors. And one of the most opportune ways that they do it is through family. Now, Nancy Pelosi's husband is a guy that does a lot of real estate.
Yeah.
I will guarantee if you look at that real estate, you're going to find some real nice deals. If you remember, there was
with a REITs,
guy—
for example.
Exactly. There was a guy from Alaska that got in trouble a few years back. He was a
Ted politician. Stevens.
Yeah, and there were people that were redoing his house for free. So what happens is these members of Congress have a friend of a friend, and somebody gives them a good deal and sells them a house cheap, and they turn that over, and then their wife gets a job. Remember Evan Bayh?
Mm-hmm.
Evan Bayh is in the Senate or whatever. His wife gets a job making a couple million dollars a year with one of these health insurance companies. So they have a way of doing this to make sure that they can skirt around the rules, which nobody's going to do anything anyway, and everybody gets paid. It's a sad state of affairs. And Hunter Biden.
Yeah, but what about Donald Trump's stepson?
Well, and
$2 billion off of a foreign country because of what? And five buildings that he sold in New York City and made what? Give me a break.
And
he would have sold them if his dad wasn't in the White House?
Right.
Or, pardon me, his father-in-law.
Right, and Hunter Biden's business partner is John Kerry's stepson.
Exactly.
I mean, on and on. It goes around.
It doesn't end with Hunter. The point is, you know, we make a lot of noise about Hunter Biden.
Of course.
Hunter Biden's a disaster. This guy is just even beyond the corruption. I mean, just as a human being, he's kind of a wreck. I mean, have you read the story of
Hunter Biden? Yeah, but it's emblematic of something because when let's face it, they overthrew the government of Ukraine and installed a new government.
Mm-hmm.
And when they went in, it was Hunter Biden. It was name after name, Pelosi's people, on and on. Family members and friends went in and looted it. Because that's part of what they do. Yes, Ukraine was a blunt object to use to hit Russia over the head with. But at the same time, the vultures went in to pick the bones of Ukraine. And they're doing it right now.
Mm.
They're projecting what will be left of Ukraine when this is all over. And BlackRock, et cetera, are all out there trying to buy parts of it. And you know the members of Congress, they gotta eat too, shall we say.
Do you think Zelensky is a willing participant in this, or do you think he's just a guy who happens to be caught up in something he's trying to do the best to control?
I think there came a point where he had to make a decision. You know, as I said, I've done some work on Capitol Hill, and what happens with people like Zelensky, if he wasn't in it from the beginning, there comes a point where you have to make a decision, where you know what's going on. And so with all the corruption, let's face it, we've recently had it implied that this guy skimmed $400 million off for his own pocket. So if you're getting $400 million out of the, I don't know if you're familiar with that story.
Yes, I am.
The Pentagon.
I've read it. Right.
$400 million.
And we have not independently verified it, but I know that the story's out there, and certainly would not be any different than what we saw in Afghanistan or Iraq or any of the
other
places.
Exactly. And generally, I think he's almost been promised Ashraf Ghani, who was the president, who was the installed president of Iraq. What happened at the end? He's getting in a plane, and there's literally millions of dollars falling out of satchels onto the tarmac as That's the game plan for Zelensky.
So let me take you to when we had a possibility that he would be able to do some kind of deal, and apparently, I don't know if Putin's people and the Russians had reached out to him, and they were talking about some kind of compromise to bring this thing finally to an end. And as we understand it, the former Prime Minister of Great Britain went over there, Johnson, with his wonderful haircut, and said, no, we don't want you doing a deal. It's almost like they're saying we need this thing to be prolonged.
Right. There are a number of issues, not the least of which being what we're talking about is money. But let's keep in mind here, this is part of Zbigniew Brzezinski's grand chessboard strategy. Ukraine is part of a strategy for the United States to maintain a world hegemony that's already gone. So the idea is we have to use Ukraine. The cover story is Ukraine is a real country and we're defending a country that was invaded. The real story is they did this on purpose so they could try to use Ukraine to weaken Russia. That's why they don't want
it over. Obviously. Yeah, obviously. I mean, they were doing military exercises in the Black Sea, which, you know.
And they got lots of money to make.
We did everything possible to provoke Russia. And anybody who doesn't see that is just not paying attention, right? But more importantly, I guess the point I'm trying to understand is, do they do this, Garland, because they are interested in multinational interest money, that these big corporations need to be able to, or do they do it because they just feel, like some of my guests have told me right here on this show, and I've argued with them, no, we just feel like we're the United States, we've got a better solution, people need to be like us because we're the best, and that's why they do it.
I think that your
which
first,
is not a reason for corruption.
Right, exactly. Your first argument is more like it's about money. But remember something. Their grand strategy to break Russia up and take over Russia is about money and Russia having resources. China is threatening us. What's the threat? Because they're making money and they have independence and power. So in reality, from a grand perspective, this is all about money. It only makes sense that from a kind of like a hologram, if you look at the smallest part of a hologram, you can see the whole thing. That's what this is. If you look at the smallest bit of corruption, you can see that this is a giant web of international corruption to make the world safe for crooked international corporate oligarchs.
Well, you have closed on a bingo. Interesting choice of words, and I appreciate you having here. You're a great guest.
Thank you.
And it's interesting to look at things like this in ways that, unfortunately, too many Americans don't. Because it's not to say we need to be hypercritical of our own country, but we do need to be critical, and we do need to ask the right questions. Thank you for helping us do that.
Anytime.
Thank you. We appreciate you being here and helping us with this discussion. And, you know, one of the things about what we do here, and I think this is really, really important, is we want to remind you that what we try and do is keep the information not in silos. So there's this side and this side. There is no Republican argument, conservative argument versus liberal argument versus Democratic. No. Truths do not live in little boxes. Truth is everywhere. And that's what we try to discuss here. Thanks so much for being with us, and we'll be looking for you again. If I don't see you here, I'll see you on the Rick Sanchez podcast. Adios.